I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Ricky Skaggs is a Grammy Award-winning bluegrass artist with 12 number one hits under his belt. St. Louis Public Radio's Jim Althoff sat down with Skaggs and began by congratulating him on his 50 years in the music industry.
Boy, that's a long time. Makes me sound like I'm about 85.
Well, you started when you were about two, so I guess you're not that old, huh?
I know it. Well, I did actually get a mandolin when I was five. My dad bought a little pint-sized mandolin and stuck it in my bed when I was 5 years old and early one morning and woke up to it, and there it was. But I've been singing with my mom and dad in church since I was about three, and they'd set me up on the podium, and I'd sing with mom and dad, you know. But it's been a great life. Got to do a lot of wonderful things in my life, and I'm so thankful for it.
Let's talk. I'd like you to talk, Ricky, a little bit about bluegrass. Really, an authentic American art form, like jazz in a way.
Absolutely, much akin to jazz, because as you would know, jazz music is played pretty much off the cuff, just out of your playing skills, you know, and kind of, you know, by ear is what most of us refer to it as. And
improvising.
Bluegrass,
yeah,
is the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you don't write bluegrass out on a, you know, on staff paper like you would with classical music, you know. So it's all out of experience. It's all out of practicing and playing with people and learning this and learning that and getting better all the time, trying to anyway. But jazz is much like that. But bluegrass is, it's kind of a hybrid of, old-time mountain music. It's certainly got gospel, threads that run through it. It's got Mississippi Delta blues. I know, Mr. Monroe loved Jimmy Rogers, the singing brakeman that he was called, from the 20s and early 30s, was a big Jimmy Rogers fan. So he sung a lot of those, blue yodel number four, number five, and different ones that Jimmy would sing, and always loved his music. And I think that the blues kind of mixed in and blended into to bluegrass when it was kind of being conceived back in 1945. Really was when Earl Scruggs joined Bill Monroe's band. Lester Flatt was already in the band. He had a great bass player, Howard Watts, and a fiddle player named Chubby Wise had just come back from the war. And those five guys started recording in 1946 for Columbia, made those first early recordings, and those recordings really is what the sound of bluegrass became. I mean, they didn't call it bluegrass back then, but that's what we know and we cite as we go back and study and listen to the early beginnings of this music. That's really where it started. And I got to meet the producer that produced that stuff. His name was Uncle Art Satterley, and he worked for Columbia, and he lived in New York, and he would take a train down to Nashville or over to Chicago. And actually, Chicago was where those first recordings were made. But I got to interview him. He was in like a hospital of an assisted living, kind of place in his last year or so of his life. His body was all feeble, but his mind was still sharp as could be. He could remember dates. He could remember songs. He could remember musicians' names that played with these guys. And he did all the Gene Autry stuff. He did all the Bob Wills stuff. This guy did. Signed Marty Robbins, signed Patsy Montana, signed George Jones. I mean, he signed all these great artists to Columbia back years ago, and talked about those early days, signed the Stanley Brothers to Columbia, so that was one of the great meetings of my entire career, was getting to meet him and talk with him for a couple hours one day. It was really amazing.
Talking with Ricky Skaggs, you mentioned Bill Monroe, the man you've called your musical father. What is it about Bill Monroe that you would pay him that kind of a tribute?
Well, honestly, he was the guy that somehow that loaded the rifle, loaded the gun, He had all the ingredients. He had the great musicians around. He had the stardom at the Grand Ole Opry. He came to the Grand Ole Opry in 1939, and so he already was an established artist. But I feel like he was looking for something that would make a sound that would make his music unique. And And so I think the addition of the five-string banjo, especially the style that Earl Scruggs played, because he had a banjo player named David Ackerman that was came kind of known as String Dean later. He was a comedian. But when Earl Scruggs came to the band in 1945 in December, that sound, that three-fingered style banjo sound that Earl Scruggs brought to Bill's music, to me, that's what solidified the music. That's really what made it sound. It was the sound of the music that brought everything together. That three-fingered roll, there was a rhythm in it, but he could also, he was writing a new vocabulary of licks and sounds and solos and that kind of thing. And
well, Ricky, let's have some of your music. I want you to set up a track from Music to My Ears. This is, I read, inspired by a story of Bill Monroe. What's the story of You Can't Hurt Ham?
Well, Mr. Monroe was hungry as a bear one night on the road and wanting something to eat, and all the places were closed. And the banjo player had drove all day to get to the bus so that they could leave out that night and drive, go the next day. And the banjo player's mother had made him some old country ham biscuits for his ride up to Nashville. And so at this point they're already a good day old, and so we embellished it a little bit and said a couple of days old and started to mold, said the banjo picking man. Munn said, "Boy, bring me that sack. You know you can't hurt ham." That had to be a song. It was a song title waiting to happen.
Let's have a little bit of You Can't Hurt Ham from the latest CD, Music to My Ears, by Ricky Skaggs.
About midnight, he said with a fright, "I'm hungry, is it too late?" Well, the driver said, "Chief, ain't no place to eat, everything's done shut up tight." Then the banjo man said he had a plan, thought he might save a night. From a greasy little sack tucked away in the back of the bus, he gave his all. A bunch of country ham and biscuits, his mama made him for the haul. About 2 days old and started to mold, said the banjo picking man. Munn said, "Boy, bring me that sack. You know you can't hurt ham."
"Well, you know you can't hurt ham. You know you can't hurt ham." Munn said, "Boy, bring me that sack."
That's a little bit of You Can't Hurt Ham from the latest CD from Ricky Skaggs, Music to My Ears. That is wonderful stuff, Ricky. You said once that you always want to promote the old music. How do you do that and stay fresh and stay forward-looking and contemporary if your musical heart is 30s, 40s, 20s even?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Because you do it.
Well, I think it's the respect level. There's no way that we can play note for note, sound for sound, heart for heart. Everybody is unique, If every snowflake is different, every person is different in the way that they approach a song or the way they sing it. So there's no way that we can exactly emulate that. But I think one of the things that I've tried to do is just the respect level, is just pay honor to the elders and the fathers. I mean, it's something that's come down through generations where people would pay honor to whom honor is due. And Monroe and Flatt and Scruggs and the Stanley Brothers and people like that, they were people that I respected so much for their musical talents, maybe not so much always their personal life or something like that, but that was not what I was, was honoring. I was honoring the music part, So I got to meet Bill Monroe when I was 6 years old and played on a show with him up in Kentucky, where I'm from, and then I met Earl Scruggs when I was 7. And then I met the Stanley Brothers right after that. So before I was 10 years old, I'd got to play with three different bands that were my heroes. So, when you learn music from a master like that at such an early age that I did, those people stay with you, Sure. And even when I left Ralph's band and went to, working with other bluegrass groups, and then I left to go with Emmylou Harris, which was a total different sound. I mean, it was more of an electric country music band is exactly what it was.
Well, there is the country music Ricky Skaggs. I mean, 9 Country Music Association Awards and the Opry Dolly Parton and Travis Tritt and Emmylou Harris. Is doing country different from doing bluegrass?
Well, it is. I mean, it's different instrumentation, but I think what made my country music different than a lot of people's music was just the fact that I approached it from a bluegrass standpoint. You know, I would, I had the banjo and the fiddles and the mandolins in my country music, and I think that that was something that was totally foreign to Nashville, for sure, in a country band.
Yeah.
But I would have drums and piano and steel guitar, and I would always try to mix the mandolin and the fiddle and the banjo just as loud as the electric instruments, and that was something that was kind of totally unheard of as well. So
not just another pop star in a cowboy hat. I mean, real country.
Yeah,
okay.
Right, no.
Also, gospel fits in here someplace, huh? You've done some gospel albums and done pretty well with gospel music. I can see how that's sort of another leg of this stool.
Well, it is, and I think here again, you know, gospel music was a very, very big part of the early beginnings of bluegrass. There was gospel music in so much of that. You know, old church style singing. The Stanley Brothers was another great group that did a lot of gospel. Flat Scruggs did a lot of gospel as well, and we've tried to carry that on. And being a Christian myself, you know, I love singing about the gospel. I mean, I love singing songs that glorify and honor Jesus, because, you know, that's my faith. It's what I believe. And I think there's a lot of audience out there that believes that as well. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've done well when we put out gospel CDs. Now, I don't do, you know, people think that I'm more of a Christian artist, but I'm really not. I'm an artist that's a Christian. There's a big difference. But I've really only done kind of, you know, 3 gospel albums in my whole career. So, you know, more bluegrass and country been more of my career music. Yeah.
Talking with Ricky Skaggs, who brings his band Kentucky Thunder to the Shelton tonight, and I think we need to sample a little more music from the CD Music to My Ears. Let's listen to a little bit of What Are You Waiting For?
Life will hand us. Couldn't dream her in a million years, but here she is. She was on the road less traveled, barefoot like me, on sticks and gravel. We were where we were.
What Are You Waiting For? From Ricky Skaggs, the latest CD, Music to My Ears. Ricky, what are you going to be doing tonight at the Shelton? We're going to hear that song. We're going to hear some songs from the new album.
Yeah, we'll be doing songs from Music to My Ears. There's probably 6 or 7 songs, I think, that we have worked up from the new record. We'll be doing the title cut, Music to My Ears. I love that song, and a great instrumental called New Jerusalem that we'll probably be doing. Stanley Brothers song called Loving You Too Well that we'll be doing. We'll be doing that tribute to Doc Watson that we did called Tennessee Stud. That was one of Doc's... Doc passed away during the recording of this record. We got word that Doc had passed away, and we were back in the studio the next day, and I told the guys, look, we got to do a song for our old friend Doc as a tribute to him. So we chose Tennessee Stud because I felt like that people knew that song and would understand why that I wanted to do it, because it was a big song of Doc's.
Well, it should be a fabulous show tonight. Ricky, thanks for your time today, and thanks for including St. Louis on your tour, and congratulations on 50 years in the music business and many more years to come.
Well, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure to play the Shelton. It's a great place. If folks haven't been there, they need to go. That's one of the most up-close and personal places that you'll play anywhere.
Bluegrass artist Ricky Skaggs talking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jim Althoff. Ricky Skaggs and the Kentucky Thunder perform tonight, 8 o'clock, at the Shelton Concert Hall. Go to the Cityscape page at stlpublicradio.org for ticket information. And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. The Ovation Series presents Alonzo King, Lines Ballet, in performances tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in Washington University's Edison Theater. Organist Frederick Homan is featured in a concert and hymn sing to dedicate the new organ at Third Baptist Church Sunday afternoon at 4. The St. Louis Classical Guitar Society presents the Paco Peña Flamenco Dance Company in a concert Thursday night 7:30 at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center on the University of Missouri St. Louis campus. And St. Louis Cathedral Concerts Series presents the vocal ensemble Chanticleer in a concert Thursday night 8 o'clock in the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of stlpublicradio.org. Next week on Cityscape, we'll talk about Gitana Productions Concert featuring the Al-Andalus Ensemble, which celebrates the Arab-Jewish music traditions, and we'll meet jazz vocalist and composer Kurt Elling. Also, Aaron Williams will preview the Africa World Documentary Film Festival. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he'll talk about current events pertaining to the law with a panel of legal experts. Archive versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Dorr, with production assistance from Spencer Reed and Drew Becker. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and please join us again next week.